Let's head to the United States for our monthly catch-up with Chris Danielson from the National Federation of the Blind. Chris, great to have you back as always, and we're talking about things space today.
Yes, space, the final frontier, as they say. So your listeners may know that there is a total solar eclipse that happened on April the 8th. And the cool thing about that is that the National Federation of the Blind collaborated with a project called Eclipse Soundscapes so that blind people could experience the eclipse. So obviously some partially sighted people, low vision people, would be able to observe the eclipse, but maybe they would be limited, or maybe if they're totally blind, they can't really observe it at all. But what you experience in terms of soundscapes can change during the eclipse. So for example, daytime animals like most birds will go silent, and nighttime animals like crickets may start making sounds because they believe it is nighttime. And so we collaborated with this project that has a grant from NASA. And what it does is it sends out these little sound recorders to what they call citizen scientists, which are just volunteers who participate in this project. And the idea is that they record the sounds of nature before, during, and after the eclipse to see how they change, and then report on their observations. So we collaborated with them to make sure that this project is accessible. So we're very excited about that.
Really exciting that, you know, people get the chance to experience this in a slightly different way, of course, because for some time we in the UK have been following a blind astronomer, and they've created a sound wave system so you could watch the stars, use telescopes, and it's all audio feedback, which you do a little bit of practice, you get an idea of the cosmos and stars and what's happening out there. We've talked about STEM subjects before, Chris, but really important to engage more blind and partially sighted people in the sciences.
Well, exactly. And there are ways to engage. And there is actually a project in the United States. It's this whole concept of sonification. So converting what would normally be visual information into sound that blind people can learn to interpret so that they can understand space phenomena. And so there is another project related to the eclipse, for example, where there's a device. People can build it themselves if they know what they're doing, or they can get one. And it is a device that sonifies the eclipse. So as the light changes, the audio will change and people will get an idea of when the light is changing. So really exciting. And as you mentioned, the National Federation of the Blind has been involved in trying to get more blind people involved in STEM for years. And in fact, we're starting another initiative called STEM2U. We've talked about this before, but the latest iteration of it is happening now. And this is science academies that are being conducted by our state affiliates in this case across the country. And we developed a model curriculum and we send them some equipment to use and some exercises to do. But it's basically to learn about astronomy and the way we can learn things from space telescopes. So our STEM2U academies this time are focused around images from the James Webb Space Telescope and what has been learned from that telescope. And so there are going to be ways that blind students can interact with images from the space telescope, tactily, I think possibly sonically as well, and learn about some of the amazing images that have come back from the Webb Space Telescope. So in effect, these students are going to become what they call a spectroscopist. I'm probably not pronouncing that right, but these are people that analyze telescope images to learn about the universe. This is our effort going back to 2004. So 20 years now, we've been doing projects to involve more blind students in STEM, at least get them to learn that they can do it. You know, not everybody will choose it as a career. And we're not necessarily, I mean, we hope to increase the number of blind people in STEM, but the important thing is for blind students to experience it in a way that they might not be able to in their regular classroom.
Do the students get to hear from perhaps blind or partially sighted people who are, you know, in those STEM industries, who can talk to them about their work and how they made things accessible?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a key part of this. And, you know, in our programs in the past, we've had blind astronomers, blind engineers. There's a very famous blind marine biologist. So there are all kinds of blind people working in the sciences. And as you just mentioned, there's at least one blind astronomer in the UK. So there you go.
Great to hear, Chris. There are more and more, you know, progressing beyond that almost introduction and then going beyond and influencing this younger generation as well. Just remind us, Chris, of the website if people want to check that out or indeed get any information from the NFB.
So our main website is nfb.org. You can also go to nfb.org/stemtu, as I mentioned. We also have our social media presence. We're on Facebook. Just search for National Federation of the Blind. We're still on X at @NFB_voice. We are on Mastodon at nationsblind at nfb.social. Also, you can just shoot us a good old-fashioned, it's funny to say that it's old-fashioned now, but you can just shoot us a good old-fashioned email, nfb@nfb.org.
How retro, Chris. Thanks again for chatting with us. We'll catch up with you again next month. And thanks for being with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Always a pleasure, Alan. Thanks again for having us.